ear, bass on your ear. Take your iPod, your iPad with your HD display. Connect them to the cloud so your data's up to date. With your tablet in the air, play some solid game. Log into Facebook, tag a photo you can share. Tweet your plans, and play some Angry Birds now. Come on, baby, tell me who's the nerd. Nerd up. Everybody say, grab your GPS and get up on your Segway. Nerd up. It's a way of the world. No matter where you are, you got a 4G signal.
It's time for the Nerd Up Podcast, and here's your pod hosts, Guilty Wilson. Nerd Up.
All right, it's another... Oh, man, this episode of the Nerd Up Podcast is tiring, Tim.
This is a late night edition.
Yes. This is after day two of Indie PopCon. I'm Guilty Wilson, along with...
The exhausted Tim gone mad.
I might talk a little.
So we got Isaac annoying us. But anyway, yeah.
My face is annoying.
Whoa.
This is the second day for the Indie PopCon, end of the day. My first day, I didn't get to make it to Friday, and I'm going to let Tim recap the Friday fun extravaganza that it was. So, in fact, let's go ahead and do that now. Tim, what happened Friday? What was your favorite part and all that good stuff?
I have to say a couple of my favorite things, because there's not just one favorite thing.
Mm-hmm.
Hearing Joel Hodgson talk was really fantastic. He was so accessible and down-to-earth and willing to talk and answer pretty much any question you want to put to him. It was great. He was exactly like you would imagine him to be, very down to earth.
I really hope that's how he came across, because you really hope that for someone like Joel Hodgson. I mean, the guy was always down to earth, and it was fun to watch on MST3K.
Down to earth, and he's in space.
Oh, very. I see what you did there.
And I was glad to hear that. Plus, from what I hear, the VIP stuff you did this morning. Or was it this morning, or was it last night? Where we got the photo signed?
That was also very cool. I will mention, Joel graciously gave out box sets of Mystery Science Theater at the talk Friday night to folks who asked a question. I myself, your humble Tim Gone Mad, was the proud recipient of one of those box sets,
nice.
Which he autographed for me at his booth today.
Oh, even nicer. So not only do you have the set, but you have it autographed that you're going to keep it forever.
I'm going to hold it and treasure it. This is Shout Factory put out a bunch of the Mystery Science Theater box sets. That company is great.
Okay.
I think the world of that company. They do some of the really cool releases. One of the ones in the past, one of my proudest possessions, is the Freaks and Geeks Yearbook Edition, which it's just super cool. The guys at Shout Factory put out some really great editions of sometimes some pretty obscure stuff that you can't find anywhere else.
You made it better with his signature on there. So.
Instantly improved.
Yeah. So. Well, so also, I guess, on Friday night, Paul and Storm teamed up with Joel.
Paul and Storm did team up with Joel in a 10-minute epic song conclusion to their concert. It was really a lot of fun. I make fun of that, but it was great fun. Paul and Storm are really personable as well. I've got to say, everyone I've met here at Indie PopCon has been very genuine, very willing to talk to the public, and it's been great. You hope that, like you said,
right?
You hope that of people that you idolize or people you admire, a lot of times when you go up to talk to them, you're nervous, you don't know what to say, you don't want to make a jerk of yourself. They're really great to talk to, and so I was really happy for that to be the truth.
Nerd Up Podcast.
All right, Guilty Wilson here with the Nerd Up Podcast once again, this time with comedy duo Paul and Storm.
Hello.
I hear your set was awesome last night, but I didn't get to make it. Tim, was it really awesome?
It was really awesome.
Okay. All right, so Paul and Storm. Now, if you would, describe your act. What would you say about your act?
We are a music comedy duo with a nerdy tilt to it. We do songs about George R. R. Martin needing to write faster.
please,
boxing nuns.
Boxing nuns, the inventor of the chicken nugget, and anything else that strikes our fancy.
Well, what got you focused on the nerd culture aspect of your act?
It was who we are and were growing up. And also, a number of years back, we started touring with Jonathan Colton, famous internet bearded singer-songwriter and game theme writer.
The Dodger of Monkeys.
And Dodger of Monkeys and Zombies and such. And we found that the nerd fan base was really great. They're great audiences. They're loyal. They'll come out to shows. They'll travel far for shows. They buy all your merchandise, which is nice because they're gainfully employed because they're smart and their skills are sought after.
And they get everything.
They do.
They use all part of the joke.
We pretend really well.
Net effect is the same.
Oh, okay, good.
And they're nice people.
Well, when we were planning on this podcast, we're planning on coming out here for the podcast and, you know, from the Indie Pop Con. And Tim said, hey, if you haven't seen Paul and Storm, make it a point to go see them. This Tim here told me that. I'm like, well, why?
And he says, Grumpy Tim.
Yeah, Grumpy, the guy that doesn't like anything. So he said, you got to make sure. He goes, check out their YouTube videos before you go. You're going to love it. And I didn't get to make it out for the show, but Tim did. And he's been rubbing it in ever since. And you said something about fans coming from far and wide. He flew in from North Carolina.
Yeah.
Just for you guys.
Thank you. Boy, are my arms tired. It's an oldie but a goodie.
What do you see the future of nerd culture, humor, and music?
I think that nerd culture always existed, even before someone said this is nerd culture, and that'll continue to happen. Like, what is nerdy continues to change, and it's always whatever is that thing that maybe not everybody likes to do, but that gets some people very excited about it. So we can't really predict what the next big nerdy thing will be, and maybe something that even nerds might look at right now and say, oh, that's not so great. In 10 years, will be the big thing.
We always like to talk about, like, television, movies, comic books, and, I mean, it's amazing how many things get wrapped up into that culture, into that category. How do you guys, from all that category, all those substances, how do you pull out something that's going to make an act and make a song or make a, you know, something? What makes a show for you guys? How do you pull all that information together?
It's mostly just, I mean, it sounds sort of cliche and reductivist, but mostly just what makes us laugh, like what we find funny, and we trust that and hope that it translates to the audience that's going to be listening and or watching us perform, and luckily it's worked more often than not, I guess.
We've found whenever we try and say, okay, let's write a song aimed at these people, that it never works. It doesn't feel genuine. It just seems like you're filling in the blanks on things.
So it's got to satisfy you first.
Yeah, when you try and force something or try and fit something into a pre-existing pigeonhole of some kind, people can always tell.
Right. Well, so like if I were, as a podcaster, come up and say, hey, say something funny for me.
Exactly.
Same as
you're a comedian? Okay, so
tell me a joke.
Yeah, tell me a joke. Yes,
exactly. Do you guys like to write together? Do you come up with ideas separately and bring them to your partner?
It's kind of a mix. We live in two different cities, so it generally starts apart. Like, one of us will have an idea either for a general theme for a song or a take on a particular topic, and it'll also vary how much that person has developed it before they send it to the other, but usually there's some degree of back and forth. We work on Google Docs a lot, so that either of us can jump in at any time and fiddle with lyric ideas or what have you.
Yeah, I love there's a commercial out right now for Google Docs that's Hall & Oates, and you see the line being filled out from the song Maneater, and they complete it. It's not exactly like that, but the process is similar sometimes.
Creative commercial, I like that.
Nice.
Well, I have to ask you about Learning Town. Are you plans on continuing with the series going forward?
We would love to.
Do you have some new ideas?
We certainly have ideas. It's a big... The first season was big and complicated and expensive, frankly.
It looked like there was a little bit of a budget in that.
Well, yeah, we were thrilled. We got to first time we ever made a show, and we got a real, you know, budget and support from people who really knew how to do it. And it's tough to recreate that just because, you know, YouTube and Google are kind of pulling back on their funding a lot of these things. And plus we're very busy just doing sort of the Paul and Storm thing these days, between our duo stuff and running fan cruises for Joko Cruz Crazy and such, it's tough to, you know, for me personally, it's tough to even think about, wow, when would we even carve time out to write, much less create and film another season of this show. That said, I mean, we loved doing the first season. If the opportunity presented itself, the, you know, sort of the right circumstances, we would love to do it again. There's nothing currently on the books for doing so, but we were just glad to have had the opportunity to make the first season because that was more than we ever thought we'd get to do.
But if someone jumped in with some money and said, hey, do this again.
Yeah, like if Elon Musk came to us and said, you know, please go make a second season of Learning Town, we absolutely would.
And oh, by the way, we're going to film it on Mars.
Yeah.
It'll only play on the touch screen of the Tesla car.
Learning Town Season 2 in space.
Oh my God, that would be incredible.
You guys mentioned that you live in different cities?
Yeah.
We do.
So when you rehearse, you Skype?
We don't rehearse.
I thought that was obvious.
Rehearsal is the first show of any given tour.
It was like an hour for that last song, I believe.
When we're developing any song, just the, sort of the back and forth and development recording process, because we're just a duo, and because Storm is the one who does all of the playing of any instruments for the most part, rehearsal is sort of that process. We don't have to, you know, get together and figure out, okay, you have to play this here, and you do this part, and you've got to sing here, but not here. So it's kind of prepackaged and from 20 years of working together.
Yeah, we have shortcuts of how we do things. Like, we know when we vocalize how this particular thing is going to come out without having to actually grind through it.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you, is like, how long have you been together? And so I guess that would make a difference. I mean, you guys know each other.
Paul and Storm, as a duo, we've been doing this for about 10 years. And before, for the 12 years before that, we were part of an a cappella quartet called Da Vinci's Notebook. And so we have been performing and singing and writing together for a very long time.
Yeah, over 2 decades.
Okay, so you guys kind of know what each other's going to do anyway. So that's good to know. Good to know. Well, I can't wait to catch one of you live acts somewhere somehow. I wish I'd have been here last night, but
you know what? That's your fault. That's on you.
I know it. And these guys are going to let me know it too.
We will.
So once again, Paul and Storm, check them out on YouTube. You'll see some funny stuff. And anytime you can catch them at a Comic Con or any kind of convention at all, do it. Tim highly recommends it, and you know how Tim is.
Yeah, it's Tim approved.
So once again, guys, thanks for joining us on the Nerd Up Podcast.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Nerd Up Podcast. Tomorrow. There's still another day of this thing, Tim.
There is another day, and it's
Sunday,
a good
Sunday,
thing.
Sunday.
It's a great thing because I've got a couple comic book artists working on some sketches for me.
Nice.
One in particular, Kay Lynn Smith, who does a great comic called Plume. If you're not a reader, you really ought to be. It's got great witty dialogue. The art is really nice. And she was really, really sweet to meet in person. I follow her on Tumblr. I mentioned a post that I had made to her, and it's been almost a year ago, and she remembered me from that post. So
nice.
Again, here's another person that I admire as an artist, and she was just great to meet in person. She's doing a wraparound cover for me, and we'll have it ready tomorrow.
Nice. Well, okay, well, let's recap Saturday, since we both got to attend today. I mean, we went on our separate missions, so to speak, and so we got different things to talk about. One of the things, this is something we'll both talk about, the new comics, the, you know, indie comics that are just like issue number ones that are just out here, there's a lot of them. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, I'm surprised.
Henchman being a standout, I think.
Henchman, I thought, was a very impressive comic. It looked good, plus the idea was really cool.
It was very clever, yeah.
Basically, these are the evil henchmen, the guys that... Well, like, for example, the Joker always had those guys helping him out, and then he'd end up killing him in the Batman series. Well, this is a different one where the henchmen are all bowling pins, and it's just a bizarre thing. The Striker is the bowler that knocks these guys over, and it's basically told from the henchman's point of view, and it looks like a really fun comic.
I got one that I picked up that I haven't read yet, and I have to admit, I don't remember the title for it. We're down in Gil's room. My room is up on the 13th floor, where all the celebrities are. It's up there, so I can't really remember to tell you the name. It's about a little girl and a platypus that she finds.
Was
who,
it called Once Upon a Platypus?
Maybe it is. I think that maybe. It's something like
right.
that.
Yeah, it's, yeah.
But at any rate, it's she finds this platypus who has amnesia and doesn't remember who he is. And so it's about his adventures with the little girl trying to discover his identity. The artwork is really adorable. The artist had quite a few little 5x7 sketches of the platypus in every outfit imaginable. Captain America, Gandalf, Batman. I mean, it was really, really adorable.
Now, the platypus speaks in this comic, too?
The platypus does speak in this comic.
That sounds so cool. Such a great idea. So, yeah, so there's a lot of interesting new comics that are out there. So independent artists that you don't normally get to see, they're represented very well. Let's kind of go over what I went through today at the Comic-Con. First of all, the vendor area was huge.
Outstanding.
And, that, I mean, of course, that included the independent comics, but there were also people selling toys and comics and stuff like that.
Books, records. Books,
yeah. Oh, and then the artwork, I think, was it you or Eric that got the vinyl painted?
That was me. There was an artist that does spray paint art on 33 and a third LPs, and I purchased an Alfred Hitchcock one that is so sharp. I can't wait to hang that on my wall. It was great.
I saw a couple in there that I really wanted to get. I'm saving a lot of my purchases for Sunday, mainly because if I spend it all on Saturday, what would I do on Sunday? But yeah, there was that really intrigued me with the idea of just, hey, these were just laying around, let me paint on them, you know, and the work, the art that he does is really cool. Nice.
I love that it's spray paint art. I wasn't sure exactly what technique he used when I was looking at them at first, but when he because they're quite detailed, more detailed than you would expect. He had a whole run of Doctors Who,
right,
all of them, and you could really tell. And he talked about his process too with us. He spent quite a bit of time, which is also a great thing about Comic-Cons, where you can actually talk to the artists.
Right.
And they'll spend time talking to you about their work. They love to have someone to talk to about their work. And he walked us through his process and showed us the first Doctor that he started with and then the last Doctor. And you could really see his improvement as he went along. And that was interesting that an artist would take the time to point out one that in his mind was kind of flawed just to show you his, you know, his progress, yeah.
Yeah. Well, now, did he do a Tom Baker? I cannot remember.
If he did, it was already bought. I know that Tom Baker was in the lineup. He did one that had all the Doctors in a line.
Right, and that was on that big part of that board.
On the board in the back, and then he had each Doctor individually on an LP, and he didn't have every Doctor there, so would assume it was probably sold, because there were other people buying his stuff there, too.
Cool. Yeah, I mean, there's some unique artwork. I got a pencil art from a guy that he takes the black and white pencil art and creates, like, I got a Spider-Man, creates these nice pencil art, and then just little spots. In the case of my Spider-Man, it's just the eyes. He puts a little color on there. I just hand does the color. What was it? You were looking at the Black Widow.
Yeah.
His pencil art. Yeah. And he does the hair and her eyes.
And this is all freehand. This guy draws these out in freehand style, and I wish you could see this. If you can, you ought to put this up on the Nerd Up Facebook page, because and put this artist's info up there so you can be credited. But it's really outstanding, and Gil's right. Just that little dab of color changes what is already a very nice piece of artwork to something that's truly eye-catching.
That stands out. Well, see, you guys, you and Eric dragged me over to that and said, hey, you got to see this guy's artwork. And I saw it, and I'm like, yeah, that looks really cool. I mean, it really does look cool. And then one of the guys helping him man the booth, it might have been one of his parents from what I...
They were his parents.
Okay, I kind of thought so.
They were really nice.
It was his dad. He took the colored version of the Spider-Man and moved it, and there's a black and white, the complete black and white without the coloring on it. And right there, it just stopped me. It's like, okay, I've got to have that. So I did end up purchasing one of those prints, because the difference that color made compared to the black and white just was astounding. And so I had that. And I'm going to put a picture of that on the Facebook page. So it's a beautiful piece of art. There's all sorts of art. There's all sorts of, I don't know what you'd say, various things. You had musicians, Paul and Storm, comedian musicians. You also had Five-Year Mission, the Star Trek based musicians. And we got, again, some of these people we've got to interview. You'll hear the interviews here on this podcast. All right, Guilty Wilson here with the band, I guess is the best way to put it. It's an entertainment extravaganza, if you ask me, from what I've seen on the videos. But 5-Year Mission is the name of these guys. And, well, first of all, your name first.
Mike Rittenhouse.
And you, what do you do in the group?
Everything.
Ah, okay. And you are?
Chris Spurgeon.
I do everything but drums.
Okay, and you are?
P.J. O'Connor.
P.J. O'Connor, and what do you do in the band?
I play guitar.
What got the idea in your heads to do a Star Trek-based band? I mean, music. And, I mean, what got you to do this?
Nobody else was doing it.
It's a good enough reason for me. I've seen lots of books become popular because of that. Okay, so how long you guys been together?
5 years.
Yeah.
And it's a 5-year mission. Are you going to be done?
No, it's just the name. It's just the name.
Oh, wait, it's over. I'm going home.
Yeah. Time to go back.
I think this fall or summer, I guess this summer, it's about 5 years.
This summer will be 5 years. Yeah.
Okay. Now, you guys, I know you guys play cons and all sorts of things around the country. What has been your best gig so far?
Vegas.
Well, the different gigs are great for different reasons. I mean, we had a show with the Proto Men at the Murat.
Oh, right.
And that
was
pretty awesome just because of the big crowd and,
you
know, professionals running your sound. And
the Murat's a nice theater, too.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it was one of the theaters downstairs, but it was still really nice.
Oh, go ahead.
But, yeah, we're doing we're playing Vegas in August, at the end of July, beginning of August. So that may be our best after once we do that.
Okay, well, Vegas is always a good one, so. Yeah. Okay, who does the writing of the music? How's that come about?
Mike and Patrick and myself and Noah, we all do the writing. Actually, Andy, our drummer, does the writing on when we do the EPs.
Okay.
As well.
Yeah, we are all involved in the writing process.
Now, how's the collaborative effort once you get the music started and making it come to full fruition? Do you guys ever fight or anything like that?
No.
I want the inside skinny. You know?
Never fight.
Never? Oh, sure. Okay.
Actually,
we agree on everything.
There's a few small disputes, but we usually work them out very simply and diplomatically. But
yeah, it's usually, 4-1 or 3-2. That's what goes.
We disband.
We vote.
Yeah, we do vote. Yeah, we vote, and if you're in the minority, you just deal with it. Yeah.
Okay, in a good democracy, everything.
This band compared to every band I've ever been in before this, there's like no comparison as to how much drama was in the other bands and how much there's not in this band.
Yeah. And it helps that we don't really have a leader per se.
Uh-huh.
We're all kind of equal parts, and so we don't, one guy doesn't have this giant ego that overshadows everybody else, which is helpful.
Well, the guy in the captain's uniform here would be more of an
ego. He's actually just a lieutenant.
Okay.
No, I'm captain.
Okay. Well, I'm just going with the old colors. So now, if a new member were to, say, hey, I want to be in your band, and you guys were happening to hold auditions at the time, would you give him a red shirt to start out with?
We have a red shirt, but he's
an engineer, though, right?
Yeah, he's lieutenant commander.
Yeah,
so,
okay.
I don't know.
That's a good question.
Yeah, that is a good question.
Yeah,
I think
if we were going to have somebody join the band,
it would be a female.
Yeah.
So that we could, just so we could have a different uniform.
Uhura,
you'd have to go for the 60s uniform, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
We would probably put her in a red uniform to start with, and she could work her way up the ranks.
Nice.
Not with how much these things cost. Good uniforms are not cheap.
Yeah, so, I mean, you guys go all out. I mean, this is a very authentic-looking uniform.
Yeah,
you guys...
we actually got our uniforms from Anovos.
Mm-hmm.
They do a lot of costuming for different...
Franchises,
yeah, and Star Trek was one of the earlier ones they did, and these are screen accurate. They got the patterns that were originally used. So we're very pleased. They're very durable. They breathe relatively well.
Now, if I were to play one of your best songs or your hit on my podcast, which one would that be?
That's a good question.
I mean, if you just picked any song written by Noah, I think that would probably be the best. Take your pick.
Well, if you were going to play a song on the podcast, I'd say we just released Year 3 in November. That's our latest album. On that album...
Doomsday Machine.
Doomsday Machine is good. Although, I'm really...
Cat's Paw.
I'm partial to Cat's Paw. I really like Cat's Paw.
Yeah. We took a terrible episode and made a really good song out of it.
Well, of the four songwriters, I'd say the top songs are Cat's Paw... probably Mirror.
It's like the apple.
Yeah, the apple. Yeah, that could work.
No.
And
Immunity Syndrome.
Oh, yeah, Immunity Syndrome, and then...
every song on the album, basically.
No, what's a good Patrick one?
The Changeling,
yeah.
Okay.
So there's a few you can choose from.
Now, I see a pattern here in the music, or in the song titles. Are they also each year... Okay, each CD is a year. right?
Each CD is 16 episodes.
Okay.
So it's not...
Okay.
The confusion often is that each CD is a season. I'm like, well, how can you do more than three? Well, that's not... You can't fit 27 episodes on one CD.
Unless they're really short songs.
Unless they're really short songs.
Unless we're a grindcore.
Or 22 or whatever it is. So, yeah, we're doing... We take them in 16 song blocks. So we're almost done with... Or we just started... this next album, year four, will be the end of year two and going into year...
Season two
and going into year
okay,
three.
So your five-year mission really isn't up after this 5 years because you're only on year four on the album. So yeah, that's what counts.
Right, yeah.
All right, well, then there's always the extended. So will you guys go Next Generation?
That is the most popular question. And we don't know. Not the first time that's been asked today.
Oh, good. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, once again, the name of the band, 5 Year Mission. You can catch them at just about every single Comic-Con, at least everything that's worth going to anyway. And you guys will be in Vegas soon. Any idea on the dates on that yet?
July 31st through August 3rd. Okay. And it's the Creation Vegas convention. It's the largest Star Trek convention in the world. You can also find us at 5yearmission.net.
5yearmission.net. And, of course, you can buy your CDs and everything online, too.
You can, yeah. It's all on there.
Cool. I got a cool video, so year two of the videos.
Yeah, and that one you can't get online. We just give it away.
Nice.
The only way you can get it.
See, I am so lucky. And, actually, I didn't... It was not anything that I snuck in and said I'm with press and had to get the video. I actually won a contest.
You got it, honestly. And all the videos, except for, I think, four of them, are actually on YouTube that are on that DVD. So.
Cool.
Well, except for the extras, but all the regular videos are out there.
There's going to be some entertainment in my house now. So.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, well, guys, once again, thanks a lot for joining me. And I'm Guilty Wilson with the Nerd Up Podcast. Stay tuned. We got more stuff from the Indie PopCon coming up.
We'll be right back. podcast.
Another thing we did, Isaac and I attended one of the panels, My Life as a Meme.
That was a...
Oh, wait, that did we get to go to that
we
one? We missed that
panel,
one.
But we did interview Bad Luck.
Yeah, so, but we did get to go see Bad Luck Brian. That's right. We missed the panel before. For some reason, we were having too much fun on the vendor floor is what it was.
Did you, do you know who else was on the panel with him? Because he said it was supposed to be a surprise guest. I didn't know.
No, because we didn't get to make it.
I wasn't sure what if some other meme guy was there.
Yeah.
It could have been,
Star Wars kid, somebody.
Out of anyone, it could have easily been... overly attached girlfriend.
Oh, really? Oh, yes, yes, because he mentioned her in the interview when we talked to her.
She was in, that's how I got linked to his YouTube videos, is that I saw his channel, like, was in the description of one of her videos.
Okay.
So that's funny.
But yeah, you see the meme, Bad Luck Brian, the kid with the braces, the goofy looking, and we've got an interview with him, you'll hear him talking about that. And here's another thing. He's got this huge sudden fame because of that picture, and now he's a YouTuber, and he's got these people following. It's a fame, but the guy was one of the most humble people ever. He goes, it's cool. He goes, I know it's a passing fancy. I got a job. This is not going to make me rich. And so you'll hear that in the interview coming up.
He didn't let the power go to his head.
Hey, yeah.
The power. The meme.
And this guy, I mean, honestly, I don't know really how I would do this. I thought... about it after interviewing him, but if someone took an old goofy picture of me, because I know I got a plenty of them out there.
they probably got some college ones that would qualify.
Yeah, and they made a meme, and all of a sudden everybody's kind of making fun of me. But now his aren't that bad. There's some worse ones out there. But
let's be real. I mean, Bad Luck Brian's is not that terrible.
No.
It's a bad photograph. Let's not joke about that. It's bad. But it's not that bad.
It's not that bad. But, you know, but to think of people are all making fun of that picture, I don't know how I would take that. At first I'm thinking, oh, yeah, I got all this fame. But then it's like, they're making fun of me.
Yeah, but they're mocking me. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I have an ill-conceived perm photo.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I got one of those.
I definitely don't want that to see the light of day. If that was suddenly a meme and everyone was looking at that and seeing how goofy that looks, I'm not sure how I would handle that. I could see how some of these folks who become memes, I could see how that could possibly ruin your world.
Yep,
seen
very
Matt's
well.
Perm photo,
yeah, way. Mine's on my Facebook right now, unfortunately.
That's the one with you, like, right next to the lake or whatever, right?
There's one of those. I've got several poses when I was wearing my badass fro.
That's nice.
Podcast.
All right, once again, Guilty Wilson with another report from the Indie Pop Con. And here with us, we've got a legend.
In my case, at least, because he's from the internet.
Yeah, an internet legend.
I appreciate it.
Bad Luck Brian is what you go. Now, what is your full name again? Or Brian, what's your last name again?
My real name's Kyle Craven.
Oh, well then, see? There's a myth behind the internet.
But Brian comes off a little bit better, you know, off the tongue. Bad Luck
you know,
Brian.
Bad Luck,
Kyle
yeah.
doesn't roll very well.
There's no alliteration there.
No, not at all. No. So.
Unless it's like... Killer
crappy luck,
no.
Kyle.
Crappy luck. There we go. Oh, we got a new meme started. Yeah. Anyway, you may recognize the name Bad Luck Brian off the internet meme. I love it. I mean, poor little kid with braces, you know, nerdy looking. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've all been there. And all of a sudden, all over the internet with everything going wrong. How did that get started?
Well, the picture itself, I took back in high school. I was 16 at the time. And, it turned out better than I expected. I thought it was a hilarious-looking picture. And so I had it on my Facebook for years and years, and my my one buddy pulled it off my Facebook, put it on the Reddit, and kind of blew up overnight. And it's been going strong ever since.
Oh, yeah, and you see it everywhere. I mean, different. You go to the meme base, and you can create a meme based on your face.
Yep.
What's that feel like?
It's great. It's awesome. I mean... my family really doesn't care much about it. They don't understand it, but I think it's the coolest thing ever. You know?
Well, I can imagine. I mean, if my picture were to circulate, no matter how bad it is, and I've got some pretty bad ones too.
Right.
If it were to circulate, I think I'd be proud saying, hey, I've made it, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
So now what are you doing? I mean, that meme has made, you know, the rounds around the internet. It's gotten you noticed. It's gotten you popular. You do a YouTube channel. Is that correct?
Correct, yep.
Now, what goes on with your new YouTube channel?
Well, I started YouTube. I got flown out to L.A. by Overly Attached Girlfriend, who's another meme. She flew me out and did a video with her, and it went great. And so I set up a YouTube. Great. I set up a YouTube account myself, so when she uploaded it, it kind of linked back to my page, and that's kind of how I got started.
Mm-hmm.
I used to do videos back in high school, and so it was kind of up my alley. So we do like sketch comedy, basically all kind of around the whole sense of a meme, where it's short, mm-hmm. it's bad luck,
mm-hmm.
and that's kind of how the whole thing's set
yeah.
up.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, there's some of those out there are funny, and I know you don't create them all because a lot of people run with it, but they use your picture. But a lot of them are just so hilarious, and I haven't yet watched the YouTube videos. He has.
I've seen a few, but I watched the Q&A with you.
Oh, yes.
And I saw the other high school picture you had from that
time period. Excellent. I'm good looking. Yes.
Is it just as embarrassing?
Yeah, not as much. So.
Oh, well, I can't wait till he gets into high school next year, year after next, and I'm going to start posting.
Yes,
some of his
you have to.
So
the
we're going to
catch on.
Now, what are your career goals? I mean, you've got YouTube. I mean, I don't know if you're going to get rich off YouTube or anything like that, but it's a nice idea if you can.
Yeah.
What are your plans after that, though?
You know, I like doing the YouTube, but it's kind of, you know, all of this is like hobby, basically. Where,
right.
You know, because no one's making a living off of selling right. Bad Luck Brian t-shirts or licensing the photo itself. So, you know, I just like to do it as a hobby. I don't see myself doing it full-time ever. I have a pretty good career as it is. So we just do it on the side for fun, and we love coming out, meeting people, and talking to people. So that's why we do it.
Now, what is your career otherwise?
I'm a project manager for a commercial construction company.
That's boring.
Yeah. I build things.
I'm a radio guy, so that's...
Internet life is more fun.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
In internet, you're a god. So, Bad Luck Bryant, Kyle. Well, you know.
Same thing. I go by either.
So, you know, I wish you lots of success. I mean, it's fun. I love everything about what you're representing, whether you like it or not.
Right.
It's so much fun to see you out there, see the memes based on you. I hope you have a great career. Maybe you can become an entertainer full time.
That'd be cool. That'd be fun. I'd like it. Good.
I mean, well, construction's a backup. That's your backup. All right, man. Hey, thanks a lot for taking the time to sit with us.
Me.
Enjoy the rest of the con.
Oh, we'll try. We'll try.
So you want to be a YouTuber, that's the panel we actually did get to go into.
Is that all about carving potatoes to look like yourself?
No, this is a different YouTube. It's on the internet, Tim. Check out that internet thing. But yeah, it was
I think I have Netscape installed. I'll see.
Or what was it, Chameleon before that? There we go. So, no, this is really cool, these guys. Isaac, help me out here. Who were the speakers at that panel?
Okay, honestly, I don't know any of them except Wade, who is Markiplier's friend. So.
Markiplier's friend, Wade, who's what's his
Lord
name?
Lord Minion 777.
Lord Minion 777.
You said you saw the Harp Twins.
The Harp Twins. They do rockin' songs on the harp, and it's my favorite one, and apparently it's a lot of people's favorite one.
They opened they do for Colin Storm, and we didn't get to see them because we were late.
Oh.
There was a guy that
because we were eating delicious, delicious steak.
Yeah, $90 steak. It better be delicious.
Oh, my God.
There was a guy that did the art for the Animeme channel, which is basically...
The Animeme? And Yo Mama? Lines. Was that the...
I think so. I've seen that in, like, related videos. I'm like, I don't want to watch that. I don't care.
Yeah, and then there was... A woman that does impressions.
Impressions, and she said she got famous mainly by, like, a League of Legends video.
Yeah, she made a League of Legends YouTube video.
Hmm.
And these guys all became, like, 2 million hits, thousands and hundreds of thousands of subscribers. And they were sharing with people, hey, it's a lot of it's accident, but it's all about networking, which any career fair will tell you the same thing.
Well,
so,
it's a lot of hard work. Case. It's a lot of hard work, too. I mean, these people, you know, you look at these YouTube channels, and there are a lot of videos up, and everyone wants to know, when's your next video coming? When's the next video? Well, that's a lot of work. They put in a lot of time week to week to make this content that is essentially for free.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they make money from sponsors or from advertising, but they're posting on a website for an audience
that's
totally free. They're giving their content away. But it requires way more work than you would think.
Yeah, well, I can tell you, putting together this podcast, one of the things they were talking about, they said they'll have a three minute video up there, but it took them 18 hours to edit.
Mm-hmm.
And I know video editing is a lot longer than audio editing, and I have to audit the... see, right now, I have to edit this podcast.
Wait, did you just edit me?
And so, you know, I spend hours making sure that we sound good or if there's a problem.
We're getting meta now.
And so I can imagine how much time goes into a video. And that's the thing. They don't just put a three-minute video out. They have to spend hours getting it ready. And they have to do it on a consistent basis.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the things they were talking about. It's really informative. And Isaac is wanting to be a YouTube phenom. And he's working on it. He's got some, what do you call those style Watch Me Play, what's it called?
Let's Play.
Let's Play, yeah.
Watch Me Play.
Hey, you know.
Gil, play. How old are you? What's wrong with you?
I'm this many.
Stop being a geezer.
So, hey, I don't do the YouTube thing. That's the one I don't, that's why I'm in.
I don't understand these newfangled things.
Well, see, I've always said there's a reason I'm in radio. I've got a face for radio, so I stick with the audio podcast rather than the videos. So.
Is the Andy Griffith face. Show on this?
No, Matlock. But anyway, so it was really cool to get that point of view, and I think Isaac might have learned a couple things. Several things we wanted to go to. I did get to network with several podcasters through the day.
Cool.
Some of them interviewed me, and we'll be putting it on their podcast. Right now, off the top of my head, Nerd Wars. All right, there were several podcasters there, and I talked to some of them. They interviewed me. There was not another Teen Wolf podcast, by the way. They didn't interview me because I had nothing to say about Teen Wolf.
Really?
But
I can't imagine that you're not in their target demographic.
You know, but we talked, and we had fun. I will say that more power to them. I mean, if there's that audience for Teen Wolf, they can have it.
Did you get to meet Michael J. Fox or Jason Bateman?
No, it's the new Teen Wolf.
Oh, that one. Yeah. Oh, see, I got that totally wrong. I was really excited for a moment.
And now that one I would be appreciative of.
That's another Teen Wolf podcast.
See? This is not another. Anyway, the Obsessive right. Viewer podcast. Now these guys, this is, you and I talked about this before, about promoting our podcast, ways to do it. These guys did it right. They had the business card with the QR
code. The QR code.
We should do that.
The almighty QR code.
I had the Nerd Up podcast, but I did not have a QR code on it.
I don't know what I'm
Partners in Crime. These Nerd Wars. Yes, those are the fun ones. And the thing is, it's not a competitive field. I mean, I thought podcasting, when I first got into it, I thought it was going to be a competitive thing. People said, like, don't mention, you know, this podcast.
Well, I find that whenever you're working in an independent space, like I do a lot of work with quite a few different independent filmmakers, and I would say 98% of the time, everyone is willing to talk about what they're doing and share things with you. And, you know, it's all about making a community. And that's what I think is really fascinating about some of the new media from YouTube, is that it is a community of sorts.
And that's one of the things, like in the YouTube panel, they talked about. They said, hey, network. These guys are more than happy to network with you.
Yeah.
The ones that don't, they're not worth networking with. And that's kind of a nice way to put it. But, the Nerds You're Looking For podcast, that was another cool one that we talked with. And all these guys are available on iTunes, and you can check them out. You can search for them. And they interviewed me. A couple of them did. And Isaac got in on one. It's like, what made you a nerd? What started you out in the nerd culture?
Did they have an intervention?
No, they helped. They were enablers.
They approved. They were enablers. Yes. I got you. Okay.
And so, they very well done. That's a very huge representation. We may have to have a booth there next year.
That would be fun.
Let's see what else went on. I'm making sure I don't miss any of these podcasters that I talked to because I got all their cards. So, okay, it looks like I got them all. And we're walking through, and the evil GameStop was represented there.
Evil.
They handed me this flyer. I said, "Here, get 30% extra credit on your when you trade in a game." And they hand me this coupon. I'm like, "You don't listen to my podcast, do you?" And the guy goes, "No." So I walked on. But anyway, the evil GameStop was there. I still haven't forgiven him.
I can tell.
So let's see, what else went on? They had the cosplay. Isaac was an amateur in it, in the cosplay. And they asked him to come to the second session if he wanted to, but he's like, he was just there to have fun with it.
I got rejected, but they were nice about it.
You got rejected for the full contest, but they were having a second one that they wanted you to attend that was no prizes involved type thing, just to show off. And at least, you know, they weren't, like you said, they were rejected, but they were very nice about it. Although there's another podcast for your age group tomorrow.
Another
cosplay contest.
That's what I have to say.
It's not the podcast you're looking for.
Yeah. But it is.
Well, in the meantime, let's talk about it. There were so many awesome cosplayers here at the con. Some professional, you know, Rachel Moore and some of the other folks that are...
I can't remember the guy's name that did the Bumblebee costume.
I don't know, but that was fantastic. It was a full-size Bumblebee.
Yeah.
That you weak know, points. It didn't transform, but you know,
right? But you know, he's professional when he's represented by State Farm Insurance.
Yeah,
you know, they're professional whenever they can actually move their fingers.
Yeah, he posed with Isaac. Isaac was dressed as Scarlet Spider, and the guy he goes, "Hey, hold on!" And he had to make the flip look with his fingers. You know the flip look if you're a Spider-Man fan. And you notice he had to move his fingers slowly one at a time. He goes, hold on, I'll get it. Because he had full robotics going there.
Yeah, and when we talk about articulated costume and the Bumblebee costume, we're talking about something that is easily, what, 9 feet tall?
Oh, yeah, easily nine.
Nine to 10 feet tall? I mean, this was
size.
Huge.
Mm-hmm.
Huge. But, you know, on top of that, there was anything imaginable. There were Doctor Who cosplays. There were all kinds of comic book cosplays. There were even some Homestuck cosplays, if you're into Homestuck.
I hate Homestuck.
I don't hate Homestuck. I can understand how they can be a little bit of an annoyance if there are way too many of them.
All right, I'm the non-nerd in this one. What's a Homestuck?
A Homestuck is...
You literally asked the proper question, what is a Homestuck?
A Homestuck is, it's an online...
Webcomic.
Yeah, it's a webcomic slash... game interactive.
It's weird. I tried
fiction. It's really difficult to explain, don't you think?
I tried to get into it. It's basically, I don't like it because you have to click everything first before you can continue on in the comic.
It's interactive in the sense that yeah, you do. It's like a point and click adventure game.
Okay,
really. But it does tell a story that's long and involved, lore behind this thing is super deep.
I think I like checked on it like maybe a couple weeks ago, and I just kind of it has like the most recent pages and stuff, and I think it must have ended or something because the most recent page was like I think it was December something 2013.
I don't know that it's ended, but I do know that they do take frequent breaks where they will just have to stop for a while. They'll make content for so much of the time of the year, and then eventually they just have to take a break.
Okay.
But they have an incredibly loyal following. Here at Indie PopCon, there weren't so many, but when I went to Anime Midwest last year, they were practically infested with Homestuck. Mm. They were everywhere.
Everywhere. When you go to any con, there's bound to be a
there,
Homestuck.
Yeah.
Because it's easy to do. You just have to have frizzy hair...
And gray makeup. I mean, it's all a bunch of gray makeup and broken horns. All
right, you guys are going to have to point these out to me tomorrow. We still got another day of this, so.
Anyone that's gray in hue is probably from Homestuck.
Okay. Well, that's probably what I was trying to figure out, that costume that I kept asking was half black, half white, half gray, half white.
I don't think so.
And a black white hair.
Oh, I don't know what that was, but yeah.
I'm still pretty sure it was.
That was cool, but.
Two-Face, just without makeup.
Yeah, and then they had
a guy?
I'm
thinking of something totally different then.
Was it a girl?
I'm pretty sure it was.
I saw it from the
back.
No,
what I saw was definitely a girl. I mean, it was a skirt and everything.
No, this was in a suit. So one leg was gray, one leg was white, and then the coat was gray and white, and then the hair was black and white. So, well, I also saw, and it was phenomenal. Someone was dressed up as Frankenberry.
that was really interesting. Yeah, his heartbeat.
Yeah, and his heartbeat. And then they had the Predators.
They actually had
the swamp sounds. You had a huge, like, what was that, 20-foot tall Yeti when he would stand and hold his arms up?
Yeah.
When his arms were up, yeah, I would think it probably is about 20 feet.
Yeah, he had a hard time getting on stage.
It was colossal. Yeah. It was amazing. I think it was a huge mistake. Ultimately, it paid off, but it took him forever to get on stage.
Yeah.
And everyone in the audience was absolutely terrified that this guy was going to break his
neck. Oh, yeah, yeah. And I was upset when he didn't win because of all the effort it took to get him on the stage.
Yeah.
And then Alien? The Hive Queen alien?
I think so.
With the wings.
Game over, man. Game over.
It was really cool.
Yeah, and there were some awesome costumes.
Adventure Time cosplay.
Yeah.
But basically anything you can imagine.
From every
realm. Saw, for the first time ever, anywhere, even online, I've never seen anybody do this. A Captain Britain cosplay.
Oh, yeah.
I did not see that.
Never seen anybody cosplay as Captain Britain, so I had to stop him and take his picture.
Ah, you got to share that on the Facebook page.
Did he have a mask?
No, he did not have a mask, but his outfit was outstanding. It was really nice.
Well, at first I thought Isaac was going to be the only Ben Reilly Scarlet Spider, but then we saw another guy, but he didn't have a mask.
But he did have the hair.
But he had the hair. So Isaac's uniqueness was there, but not quite. That's the one thing with the Scarlet Spider. You don't see that one often.
I wanted to see a Kane.
So yeah, a Kane Scarlet Spider would have been nice. But yeah, it was a great show. One of our friends, Brady, with his Joker costume, he was there and having a blast. In fact, we're going to invite Brady on here. He works for a cosplay magazine. We'll have to interview him and talk with him on the podcast sometime coming up. Let's see here. What else going on?
I did go to a special panel by Joel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he did the talk Friday night, but they had an opportunity to go and do a little smaller group session with him today. There were maybe about 20 people that were there, and he talked at length about anything that we wanted to ask him about. You know, he started off his talk wanting to know if we wanted him to just do his presentation that he had prepared, or if he just wanted to talk off the cuff and answer any questions we had. And so we all chose, of course, just off the cuff.
Yeah.
And spend time with him. And he was very forthcoming about the possibilities of bringing Mystery Science Theater 3000 back.
Nice.
You know, what that would entail. And, you know, he didn't go into any specifics, unfortunately, because one person asked him who would be involved and suggested Patton Oswalt as a great candidate, which I...
Nice, yeah.
I definitely second that emotion.
Now, I got to add, that was with your VIP ticket. Oh, wait, let me pronounce that correctly. VIP ticket. So
hang on, let me wipe my monocle.
So you paid a little extra to get into that action. So
I did, but I will say what was really nice about this con is, and this is their first year, so you know the attendance is not quite as big as what I thought it might be.
Right.
It's respectable. Don't get me wrong. Yeah, yeah. It's definitely by far not a failure in
definitely
any way,
not.
Shape, or form. It was. I would classify this as a success, but the attendance is kind of light, a little lighter than I thought it would be. And so, in light of that, they were kind enough to mark down some of the VIP tickets by almost half.
Mm.
You know, so I got to go see Joel and save a few bucks. Unfortunately, those few bucks went to the artists in the dealer room, so I didn't save any money whatsoever.
No,
I just spread it around to different places.
Yes, and that's the nice thing about it, is that it enabled you to spend it on some
of
those.
It did. It enabled me to reward some of the dealers that came. But I will say that about the founders of this, the organizers, absolutely top-notch. Everything is run on time.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's been friendly. The staff has been very helpful.
Very much so. That's what gets me is every time I've had I was just trying to ask questions from the media point of view, because like I said, the press room, when I first went in there was nothing up there. And so I'd ask the people, and they went out of their way to find the answer for me and everything. And when I was trying to get some some of the celebrity agents to, you know, try to book some time for interviews, the staff members would... They said, "Hold on, I'll go take care of that for you." You know, instead of saying, "Well, it's over there, go look." You know, I've been to cons before where it's like, "We're security, that's not us." So, you know, but these guys, everything, even the janitors pushing the brooms. I was standing around.
Yeah, guy I talked to for a while was really nice.
Yeah, and it's like where I was looking for a certain booth number, and it was actually for the 5-year mission guys. I was looking for their booth number, and I asked the guy pushing the broom, and he goes, "Well, that's over. Okay, hold on. This is booth number this is booth number..." Well, it's over. And he actually walked me to the booth. And he was supposed to be, you know, and he is actually wearing a volunteer shirt, too.
Mm-hmm.
So there are lots of volunteers, those yellow shirts. So.
Yeah, there were quite a few volunteers, which is good. A lot of times cons just don't have enough staff to make things work smoothly. And I would say they have adequate staff at this. There's enough staff for the number of people that are here to make things run pretty smoothly.
And they better have another one this year or next year. So
I hope so. I really hope this is the start of something for them. If this goes year to year, I live in North Carolina, so I'm a ways away. But I'd be willing to come back next year. If they take everything they did this year and improve on it and iterate and come up with new things, I would definitely come to this. And I've been to a few conventions. Not a lot. I'm not a professional convention goer.
Right.
But
we go when we can.
I do like to go when I can. I would say that this is one of the smoothest experiences that I've had.
Cool. Well, we got tomorrow, Sunday. For those
Sunday,
of you
Sunday,
listening on the podcast, we'll have already been there and done. But tomorrow, Kevin Eastman, one of the creators for the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, he's going to be having a Q&A panel. I'm curious about that one, but at the same time, they're having a Who's That Pokemon trivia challenge.
That I'll easily ace.
So Isaac is planning on winning some valuable prizes.
Isaac's our ringer.
Yes. And then we got Kevin Eastman is also holding a panel on Learn to Draw with Kevin Eastman. Can you imagine the guy that created Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles teaching you how to draw? Or how often do you get
so
that?
Jealous.
You know?
One thing I will mention, that we'll go back to cosplayers for just a second. There was the cutest little kid who, I don't know, he was probably six, little guy. He was wearing a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles shell, a Superman emblem on his shirt, a Batman hood. He had an Iron Man gauntlet. I mean, this kid was loaded for bear. It was adorable. And that is something that's really fun about conventions like this, is seeing parents bring their kids. It's a great time.
And the kids getting into it.
And the kids enjoying it, yes. Yeah. It's the ability to pass along the things that we loved mm-hmm. to our kids. I mean, we, you know, Gil's proved this with Isaac over here, his nerd in training.
We're talking about, I hate it.
Oh, man.
I'm forced to do this comic book stuff.
But that was just one of the sights and sounds that you can only see at a Comic-Con.
Well, I think the perfect example is the kid that was dressed up as the Sylvester McCoy doctor.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And his dad is number 9.
Yes, and his dad was number 9, Eccleston.
Yep.
Now, the kid... Okay, you say, okay, the parent just stuck him in the costume. The kid acted like Sylvester McCoy doctor did.
Played the spoons.
Yes. I mean, that's a... You know, that's not... I mean, what kid is going to know... Okay, maybe they know Matt Smith. And luckily if they know David Tennant.
That's a guy that's training his kid right.
Exactly. Exactly.
If you know the Sylvester McCoy doctor, you're reaching deep.
Exactly. So, and Sylvester McCoy was here at the con. And
he was here at the con.
So that made it even more enjoyable for that kid, I'll bet you. Let's see here. So speaking of which, the cosplay championship for the kids, they say kids, but it's was a 14 and under?
So pretty much preteens.
Preteens, tweens, and younger. And I don't think there's any cash prizes. It's just for fun for the kids. And Isaac plans on going for that one just for kicks.
Is that tomorrow?
That is tomorrow at 1:00 in the afternoon. We'll be going there and see what happens there.
For gits and shows.
That's the championship. Now, there's another one. Here's one I'm curious about, and I want to get Isaac into. It's they're having a panel, Gaming for Money. You know?
Hey.
Let's play. The business of Let's Plays. So I want to see if we can get Isaac making some money so that I can retire.
I got to say, I watch a lot of YouTube. And mm-hmm. so, you know, even though I'm not a 20-year-old anymore, I do fancy myself pretty hip to things going on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
I'm mystified by the Let's Play phenomenon. That's the only thing. I just don't get it. I don't understand the popularity of Let's Plays.
Well, you
cannot deny that they're insanely popular.
Yeah.
I would never say that this isn't popular. I just don't understand why it is.
Right. I've seen a few of them. Now, the ones that I like are the ones that play the horror games and their reactions. I love it because sometimes these guys actually get scared out of their wits playing a game. I mean, because there's some video games out there that are scarier than crap. What was the one?
Outlast.
Yeah, what was that nightmare one? I can't remember. There's one that this guy, he had was a statue of an angel. And he'd throw that and he'd go, I'm going to throw this!
Oh, I wish I could remember the name of it, but it's an indie game where you play as a toddler in alone in the house.
Oh my
and
god.
It's terrifying. Oh, I mean, it's legitimately terrifying because it's your point of view is down at where a toddler would be, and all you can do is just kind of toddle through the house, hiding behind things, under
Holy
things.
Holy crap.
Yeah.
That's actually legitimately terrifying. That game scares me.
I already... You're talking about PewDiePie.
Yeah, his video.
That's not at all what you described. Was not at all because Stefano, a golden statue.
Yeah,
you got that right, but it's not an angel statue. Oh,
well,
it's like a guy in a. I don't know what it's like. What's the kind of hood thing?
Yeah,
you wear in a Saharan desert, and he's got like a
pith helmet.
Yeah.
Oh, pith helmet.
Yeah. He's like kind of kneeling with a sword. Because
in case you have
statue.
To go, you always got the helmet to pith in.
He's like, Spano, save me.
Wow.
Okay, yeah. So, but the reactions they have on those and the Let's Plays of those games I like to watch. But you're right. Other than that, it's a phenomenon that's weird.
It's kind of beyond me. I'm of a mind that if once you've seen a couple guys jump and squeal like a little girl, the novelty kind of wears off. But,
for us older folks.
But, you know, that's to each their own, and that's the beauty of nerd culture.
Yeah.
Everybody has their own niche. If there's something you like, you can find 50 other people that love the thing that you like.
Well, that's one of the things at that YouTube panel we did attend already. They talked about the Let's Play videos, and that's...
I bet I know why they're popular.
I think that's why they got their own panel for it. Why do you think they're popular?
Well, sometimes there's games like The Walking Dead. Like, if you can't afford it, I mean, the second best thing is watching someone enjoy it as much as you would.
I could get that. I mean, I have to admit, I have watched some Let's Play videos for games that I'm, like, really on the fence on. And am I interested in this? How does it play? Or games that I want to be in on the conversation about this game. I want to be able to talk about this game, but it's not one I really want to buy and play myself. But I do want to be able to, like in this venue in the podcast, be able to talk about it.
Right.
So I might watch a Let's Play video of it.
Or another thing that I could see using it for would be like a walkthrough. Like, oh my God, I'm stuck on this level. How do I do it? Well, they have a Let's Play. At least they're having fun with. Maybe that could be a good...
No, yeah.
Hey, we just solved the mystery of Let's Plays.
I do take that back. I have seen where a Let's Play video is helpful in that sense. Too. Yeah, that is true.
A couple other things. Oh, John DiMaggio is going to have a Battle Royale with Eric tomorrow.
Who?
I mean, no, with Tim.
Who?
The Joker, John DiMaggio.
I don't know this guy.
Actually, no, him and Eric Stewart are having a voice actor panel, which I want to attend because of my... audiobook productions that I've done, and I want to see if they have anything to offer me. Anytime there's a panel of people, professionals doing it, I'm going to attend that. And so voice actors, I do that already. I want to see if I can get some more, especially with that awesome Joker, John DiMaggio.
Terrible.
So I'm trying
just
to...
terrible.
So Brock and Jake the dog walk into a panel.
Yeah.
the start of a joke.
Oh, and that's another thing. We talked with Eric Stewart, and...
He's a cool guy.
He is a very genuine guy, very nice guy. He's got... Sure, he's the voice of Pokemon. He does other voices, too.
He does Yu-Gi-Oh! And I think he is also James from Pokemon, not just Brock.
Yeah, and he's got his fame, but when it comes to not just meeting the fans, us as media, because I'll tell you what, media gets a different response from celebrities than a fan does. And...
Because they're parasites.
Yeah, pretty much. But he was genuine with it. He goes, I'd be more than happy to talk with you. But every time it was like, I told him, and I told like any other celebrity, I don't want to get between you and the fans. These guys are here for you. You're here for them. When you get time, let me know. But he was really nice. So him and Eric Stewart and John DiMaggio will be having the voice actors panel. I definitely want to attend that. Although it's conflicting with the martial arts class with the Red Ranger. I might have to... flip a coin on that one. So
flip a two-face coin.
Yeah, there we go. Let's see here. They're also having a comic coliseum. Who would win in a fight where they're going to pair up, like, let's say Hulk and Ant-Man? I don't know. It's kind of one of those nerd conversations.
That's a nerd conversation that would go on for weeks.
I would love to. I'd almost want to sit in on that. Mm-hmm. I'd almost want to see that, but I'd think John DiMaggio's got me. Then at the end of it, they're going to have a PopCon team Q&A praise and vent session, which I almost want to attend that just to see what people complain about this one and what they praise.
I can't imagine anyone really complaining.
I can't either.
Absolutely nothing to complain about.
No, I mean...
Other than Candice McClure has not returned my phone call yet.
Well, that order of protection thing, I think, is holding her back.
Yeah, 50 feet is a long way to stand away.
You still get good cell phone reception within 50 feet. So, but anyway, and I know Eric had his fun with Hodor jumping on his back.
I had to drag Eric away from that booth. It was an embarrassment. He made a spectacle of himself. He tried to jump over the table onto Hodor's back and clasp him around the neck. That is the one embarrassment of this Comic-Con. I will say Eric just... absolutely went above and beyond. The guy dove under the table. It was terrible.
You know what? It's funny we're talking about him right now, but you know where he's at right now. He's at a club where Christian Nairn, Hodor, is
dropping the bass.
He's at a club. So I'm almost jealous. So, but he still may jump on his back. You're not there to stop him.
Yeah, that's the thing. I'm having second thoughts about not having gone with him tonight because with Hodor in the house, I'm afraid Eric B. will try to take another dive onto his back.
Yeah. Now, here's another thing, a little side note about the Indie PopCon. They had some screenings, which I thought were very interesting choices. Today, they had Sharknado screening.
Sharknado.
I mean, you know what? Being one of the dumbest movies ever, it's still fun to watch because it is so dumb. Especially, I mean, I saw it when it was on Sci-Fi, just out of curiosity. And I laughed so hard, and I'm like, it's rare that a movie like that would make me laugh. And I, you know, it's fun. But they had a screening of that. Let's see here. There's a couple other screening
rooms.
They
had the, what was the one? Oh, Nazis at the Center of the Earth?
Yes,
or something like
Nazis
that?
At the Center of the Earth.
I have never heard of that, but had, just the title alone makes you want to go see it.
Now, here's one I thought you would have been in attending, Tim, was the Zero Budget Filmmaking. They had a,
oh, was that today?
That was today.
Oh, poop.
Yeah, and so
I don't know, man. I have less than zero.
Oh well, then you got Robert Downey Jr. and James Spader and what's her name? She was in Crossroads. Jamie Gertz or no? Yeah, Jamie
Gertz back in the day.
Yeah. Woo! She was in the Less Than Zero movie. Anyway,
she was gorgeous.
And then so yes, I mean there's all sorts of screeners.
Ione Sky. How about some Ione Sky?
Oh,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. When it's Ooh. Blue or green. Oh, wait, yeah.
Sorry. Having my flashback to famous brunettes from the 80s.
Let's see. Oh, one other thing that they've got tomorrow. Hold on. Where'd it go? Well, no, I was going to ask you. Did you see that Who Nation room?
I saw it. I did not have the opportunity to go in. I know they were having... It's like an interactive adventure that you can take that takes maybe an hour, I think.
Is that right? It is?
I might be wrong about the time length of it, but I do know it's a pretty sizable adventure that you can take. It sounds like a lot of fun. People coming out seem to be happy with what they experienced.
I'm going to try to, if it's still going on tomorrow, I'm going to try to make it a point to investigate it. Because I looked into the door, and they had a bunch of these poster things with the faces cut out. You can get your photo taken. And it's like, that alone looked like fun. But it's like Doctor Who all over the room. I'm like, I should go in there, but we kept getting distracted with other things. So
there are too many cool things.
I know, and I've only got 2 days. You guys have had three, and you still not be able to do them all.
I have to say, I have made a really strong attempt to make it all the way through the dealer room, and this is a Herculean effort. Mm-hmm. I really have put in the time, the energy, the effort. And I've made it through not even half.
I know.
There are so many artists out there that are doing great work. I want to stop and talk to all of them. There are indie games. There's just anything imaginable.
Like the Oculus Rift?
The Oculus Rift. I do have to say, although I am disappointed with what they're showing off on the Oculus Rift, not to diss the guys that did it, what they did, the tech demos they were showing were interesting, but ultimately... just a tech demo.
Yeah.
But Eric Billingsley and I came into this, both of us sprung for the VIP pass for the gaming because we both wanted to see the Oculus Rift. And we both did get to see it on the very first day, and it confirmed everything I hoped for it. It was immersive, it was easy to wear and lightweight, and I can't wait for it.
Right.
I want one.
So
you absolutely am sold on it now.
That's good. That's the good thing about the demo aspect of it is that it confirmed that you needed it.
It did confirm my suspicion. I will say this, they were also showing off another peripheral that was kind of interesting. It didn't quite work as well as what it would need to be if it was going to be a production product where you would buy. But it was a motion sensor that was a bracelet you wear around your wrist, mm-hmm. and it sensed position, so it had altimeter, geometer, I don't know, whatever.
Okay.
So it would sense your position where your wrist is vertically and horizontally. It would also sense if you twisted your wrist or if you made a fist and squeezed.
Oh.
So it was really interesting because you flew a spaceship in this demo and you could bank it or go up or down just by using your wrist and your arm. Now, if you wanted to boost, all you had to do is squeeze your fist, and you didn't have to squeeze it very hard, just the slight muscle movements. It was sensing the contraction of the muscles, and it would cause the ship to boost.
Nice.
It was an interesting concept. I like it, but it's definitely not fully fleshed out. It needs it definitely
but
needs
the potential and the possibilities from that are just unlimited.
They are very, very big.
I'm thinking of a lot of games that could really use that. I mean, it reminds one step above that Nintendo gauntlet.
How about a Spider-Man game? How about a Spider-Man game where you just squeeze your wrist and you're shooting a web?
Yep.
As a product, I was interested in the Oculus Rift. I just really didn't know how that it would actually transfer to actual use.
Mm-hmm. Now, let me ask you, you're wearing glasses right now. I don't know if you wear them on a consistent basis. How would they react with someone wearing glasses? That's one thing I've noticed about all the other previous virtual reality.
Yeah, that is something that can be an issue with a lot of peripherals. If you're wearing glasses, sometimes they don't work so well with your vision, mm-hmm. or they bang into your glasses and it works so well. I personally took my glasses off mm-hmm. when I used the Rift, but Eric Billingsley left his on, so you'll have to ask him that. I talked to him afterwards, and he said that it really wasn't a problem at all. He could feel it pressing against his glasses slightly, mm-hmm. but it wasn't uncomfortable, and you could wear your glasses while you were in the Oculus Rift.
Podcast. All right, Guilty Wilson back here again, and this time I've got a legend with me. And I say legend because he's one of my childhood heroes, because I was a huge fan of Shazam on Saturday mornings. Every Saturday morning I had to watch it. I had my bowl of cereal, Captain Crunch, and yes, Jackson Bostwick, the original Shazam, is here with me. So, Jackson, thanks for joining me here.
Thank you. And you say a legend because you mean it, right?
I mean it. No, I mean it. Okay. I mean, like I said, I watched it every Saturday. Now, I got to ask you, did you get to keep the costume?
I got one, yes.
Did you? Okay.
I got the main one that I wore all the time. Now, I know that there's another one out there somewhere. I think John Davies had one, but he doesn't have it. He can't find his gauntlets. Oh. This is the one. The one I got is the main one that I wore all the time.
Nice. Now this was back in the day when superhero... Basically, they were only on TV Saturday mornings, superheroes. As adults now, we got the movies coming out. How was the world of superhero in television back in the day?
Well, you had the Lone Ranger, you had Sergeant Preston of the Yukon, you had, of course, George Reeves, Superman.
Oh, yeah.
And all of them. And, I don't know, we had some heroes. I think Tom Tyler did pretty good in the Adventures of Captain Marvel, that serial that he did.
Oh, yeah? Yeah, that's right.
And, Leonard Malkin says it's probably the greatest serial of all time. But, there's no difference. You filmed it. We shot it on Super 16. It just had come out. So I don't think you portray it any differently than you would the movies. You just don't have all the special effects.
There are times,
budget.
Yeah, in the budget, yeah. How did being a superhero change your life? I mean, there's the curse of Superman, all the Superman movies you've heard, The Legend of the Curse. Batman, they get pigeonholed into that role, like Christian Bale is wanting to break out of. But you take Lou Ferrigno, who loved his being the Hulk back on television. How has being Shazam helped you out?
Well, that's fine, but it didn't hurt Sean Connery any. There's plenty of things that you can use it to bounce out. That doesn't bother me,
mm-hmm.
Because it doesn't have anything to do with acting. It has a lot to do with the look, your sound, how you come across, and everything as a superhero. There are plenty of people that play superheroes that can't pull it off.
Right.
To me, there's only one Tarzan, that's Johnny Weissmuller. There's only one Hercules, that's Steve Reeves. So you think about the ones back there, there are only one Lone Ranger, and that's Clayton Moore.
Right, right.
And Jay Silverheels is Tonto.
Right.
I don't care how many times how many bats they put on their head to try to, or whatever that thing was. And by the way, is he part Indian? I didn't know he was. I thought he was Iranian or something. But this is what you have to think about. If they don't do it right, it'll bomb. I don't care what it is.
Yeah, and you got to have the look for the super. I mean, looking back at these, you got a display of photos here on the table where we're talking here, and you've got that square jaw superhero look. You still do. Mm-hmm. You didn't let that go. How's that affected you, film career?
Well. It always does, because I'm a very strong leading man. Very hard to put me in a supporting part.
Right.
Because you detract from the lead.
Right.
I can remember one time a casting agent taking me out to lunch at Paramount, telling me, Jackson, you're absolutely dead on, spot on right for this part, but we can't put you in it because you'll overpower the lead. That happened to be Happy Days. It was Henry Winkler.
Oh.
He'd be the one that I, and I was going to play a water ski superhero type guy. He said, you'd overpowered Henry, we can't do that. But he told me to be able to do that, you have to understand, you can't take away from your look.
Right.
And you either play the lead or you don't.
Right, right. And, well, you did it well. I remember, like I said, Shazam. Now, I was thinking here, I'm like, oh, I got to get a recording of him saying Shazam. But then I was thinking, no, Billy Batson said that.
Well, we both did.
Oh, wait, you had to change back.
I lose 6 inches.
I'm not going to ask where.
He's the one that, well, that's another story. But he, in another show,
right.
in another country that was filmed in. But this, I think we have to get back to him, and that's one of the things that that made that show a lot of fun, because Billy was always there, and then Captain Marvel was always there, but you never had them both at the same time.
Right, exactly. You had to go back and forth between the two. Yeah. Yep. And like you said earlier, had a great RV. So did Shazam?
You know, what was the name of the RV? Do you know what make it was? Yeah. People say Winnebago. It was an open road. And you would have never guessed that Captain Marvel was in there, because that lightning bolt on the front didn't. You know, people.
I remember that on the opening sequences. There'd be that. Yep. What are you doing with your retirement years, or what are you doing?
Finishing up my book, Myth, Magic, Immortal, about my time on Captain Marvel and some other stuff, and also I'm finishing up a movie that I shot called Bloody Mary Light, LITE.
Okay.
You go on YouTube and see the trailer, and you can see the 3-minute teaser. But I'm just finishing up putting the final touches on the sound, and that'll be it.
Nice, nice. Good to know that. Well, again, some people after superheroes is like that's done because they're pigeonholed.
No, I did.
Tron.
I did 13 movies at Disney. So I mean, I just finished a couple of other movies. I did. There's one called Suitable for Murder that's out now. So you don't give up.
Well, I'm always going to picture you as Shazam. You're going to be there always, because I always that was my childhood.
Like Clayton Moore, like any of them, or even Sean Connery.
Right.
I'll always remember as James Bond.
That's right. That's right. No matter what he does, he did that Name of the Rose thing. No, he was James Bond.
Yeah, any of them. Robin Hood, or I don't know, whatever.
Right.
All that stuff he did.
Yep. So.
Robin and Marion, I guess.
Well, thank you very much, sir. And it's a pleasure talking with you. And good luck on anything else. I want to read the book.
Okay. All right. Buy something.
Yeah, I'm a cheap bastard, by the way.
So far, Indie PopCon is a very huge success from our point of view, from the attendees' point of view.
Yep.
Huge success. I haven't heard a single complaint about the place.
Nope. Too many people in the dealer's room.
That's not a bad
Too many
problem.
Artists. Too many cosplayers.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I think that's the best part about it. In fact, all sorts of merchandise being sold, not just licensed merchandise, but original artwork, original action figures, just a whole bunch of stuff.
Crafts of all varieties. There were some armors here that made leather armor.
Yes, I saw that.
That was really nicely made. Very, very clever designs, nice colors, really solid construction.
Did you happen to notice how fast I went by those guys? Because I knew I'd be buying something if I stopped.
Believe me.
They also some had cool the Captain America replica shield.
Yes.
The replica.
Yeah.
Thing it's actually made of metal.
Yeah, that was really cool, really nice. It's a bunch of nice stuff. And Indie PopCon, I will say, guys out there that are putting this on, keep doing it every year, because if you did it like this year, it's you're going to do nothing but succeed, because it's been a blast. I haven't heard a complaint. It's everybody has been loving it. In fact, I heard the comment during the cosplay contest. The auditorium was over 3/4 full for the cosplay. He says normally cosplay contests at cons about half full.
Yeah.
And so, but this one was over 3/4 full, and it was a big auditorium. And
I would have to say that is the largest event that I attended here so far.
And it was very well attended, and
even
people
the
loved
Paul
it.
And Storm show was maybe half of what was
that
at
right?
The, yeah, which was really unfortunate, because it was a great show. They were really, really spot on.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, it's a great. So, we're pushing for the next one. Maybe it'll be an annual trip for the Nerd Up podcast.
I'm ready to go next year.
Right.
I just want an increase in my per diem.
I'm ready to go to ANCON.
All right. Well, I'll double your per diem next
really?
Year.
Really? Yes. I get double zero?
That's right.
Awesome.
If you want, I can triple it.
Really? I hate to push. I don't know if 3 zeros is in the budget.
We'll see what we can do. Actually, next year, let's look about getting a booth for the Nerd Up podcast.
Yeah, I'm down
I'm surprised with all the other
podcasts. I want to be a celebrity.
Yeah.
I will say, this is the funny bit. Can you tell I'm infatuated with Joel Hodgson? I want to have his babies.
Hey, dude, I'm with you. I'm with you on that. That's why I'm so upset about missing Friday.
The great thing is, on Friday, like I said, I was the fortunate winner of one of the box sets. We each had to ask a question, and I stood up to ask the question, like you do when you're an audience. Well, I was in the front row, so he, of course, made fun of me for standing up in the front row, wanting to be the attention hog and whatnot. So I took a bow, and it was funny.
Uh-huh.
But I will say this. Two times I saw him on Saturday, he called me by my first name. He remembered my name.
Nice.
And I think that's just the mark of someone who's really in touch with his fan base.
Yeah.
And knows, you know, who... Well, to be vulgar about it, who puts money in his pocket.
Right, right,
but,
yeah.
You know, who appreciates his work. Let's put it that way. So
yeah.
He knows the people who appreciate what he does and what he brings to their lives.
I got a quick question. Did anybody ask him about Cinematic Titanic?
I actually asked him that. I asked him at the panel. The question, what I wanted to know, is in the Mystery Science Theater days, it was always a big deal to keep circulating the tapes.
No.
All the time, they kept encouraging their fans
yep.
to share videotaped copies. And for those of you who don't know, in the prehistoric era, we had these cassettes. But anyway.
They had this magnetic tape thing.
Magnetic tapes. But yeah, they encouraged people
mm-hmm.
to share this with their friends. That's what got the show out there. Nerds passing tapes around of episodes taped off their antenna TVs.
Yep.
And that's what really built the fan base. But now, on the discs for Cinematic Titanic, of which there aren't that many. He talked about how they transitioned from doing discs to doing live shows primarily. Mm-hmm. On the discs, at the very beginning, there's a blurb about, please don't, if you didn't pay for this or if you pirated this, please remember, we're your friends. We made this for you. Please go ahead and support us by buying this product.
Right.
And that's perfectly legit. There's nothing wrong with saying that. They put in the effort. They deserve the money for their product. What I wanted to know is I wanted his point of view on that kind of transition from back in the day being able to say, keep circulating the tapes, to today saying, please don't pirate this. You're taking money out of artists' pockets. And his response was kind of interesting because he really couldn't put a number on that as far as, you know, what kind of income that takes out of artists' pockets. He leans toward, you know, paying for content.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he doesn't think all content should be free, but at the same time, he does acknowledge the fact that without that urge to keep circulating the tapes, Mystery Science Theater might not have become
right.
as big as what it did become. And he does understand that, you know, there is some value in getting the name out there and spreading what you're doing through giving it away for free, for lack of a better way of putting it. But yeah, that was one of the questions
nice.
He answered. That was my question to him. And so yeah, he did talk about Cinematic Titanic cool. and why they're not really doing it much anymore.
Okay.
They've kind of put that to bed.
Yeah. Well, it was pretty much an extension of MST3K anyway, so.
It was a bit, because pretty much it has all the clan, Dr. Yep. Forrester and TV's Frank.
Yeah.
All those guys.
Well,
just as different roles.
This is about earlier whenever he said that he remembered your name. Don't go all Electro on him. If he doesn't remember your name next year,
remember my name.
Don't just go, oh, I'm going to have to kill you now.
That's a good point. All right, well, I tell you what, let's end the podcast at this point because we're going to intersperse this with, they've already listened to most of the interviews throughout. We're done. Let's call it a week, and it's been a week.
Oh,
and
boy.
Eric Billingsley, I hope you enjoyed dropping that bass with...
dropping the bass.
With Odor.
Odor dropped the bass.
So
that's why Skrillex can't go fishing. He always drops the bass.
Oh, wow.
So I think we'll end it on that note. So,
well, he's a professional, folks.
Well, I'm Guilty Wilson. And I'm out of here.
I'm just willing to see how long you're willing to like let this go on.
Well, you
this
can,
foolishness happen.
Well,
la 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 la.
It gets edited out.
And this is Tim gone mad. We're
I'm
out.
Brock, I'm Barack Hussein Obama.
Stay nerdy.
Nerd Up Podcast. www.gilwilson.com.
If you need quality voice work for your radio commercials, audio for TV commercials, or maybe just for that message on hold for your business, you need to check out
www.gilwilson.com.
GILWILSON.com. www.gilwilson.com. Check it out. It's quirky. It's fun. It's innovative.